Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
So please, allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we exalt you. Lord, we magnify you, God. Lord, I'm asking, God, that you would just give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and we praise you in the mighty name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Here we go. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 3. And we're going to do our best to expound verses 1 through 7. And so, here we go. If you have your cell phones, put them on the silent position. Amen. I've entitled this evening's message, Must Have a Good Testimony. Must have a good testimony. We're going to see what that's all about in the scriptures here. But we're going to start this new chapter in chapter 3, starting with verse 1. So here we go. And it reads, This is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous. Verse 4. One who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? Ooh, good question. Not a novice, lest being puffed up with the pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Moreover, he must have a good testimony. Did you catch that? That's where I got this topic. Moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Wow. These are serious scriptures that Paul wrote to Timothy. Amen. And I believe he mentioned old Slewfoot a couple times, didn't he? Why? Because the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Anything that God is trying to build, anything that God is doing on the earth, old Slewfoot is there to try to thwart the plan of God. But I'm here to let you know, hallelujah, greater is he that lives within us than he that's in the world. Can I get amen? No weapon formed against us shall prosper, and every tongue that rises up against you, God shall condemn. Praise God. So let's break this all down, starting with verse 1. Here we go. This is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. You should desire, once you've been seasoned. Notice earlier in the verses, we're going to get to it. He's not looking for a novice person. In other words, someone that you just you recently laid hands on. Someone that's new in the faith. These people were seasoned. They were tried through the fire. And this is why Paul the Apostle knew how to select these faithful servants. These were servants. And they were asked to come and be part of what God is doing. And so the word elder referred to a pastor or anyone who exercised an overseeing position. The New Testament saints uses several words for church leaders. The most common are apostle, overseer, bishop, elder, and even deacon. At first, the office of an apostle referred only to the 12 and a select few of others. Like Paul, it came to be used in a less technical sense for church representatives. Paul was used as an apostle, not like the 12, but an apostle was one that's called a person sent by God. So he was sent to go to regions to do what? To establish churches. And then he would raise up an overseer. And then he would move on and set up churches after churches. Who could think of someone right now in our present day that has set up at least, I'm going to just throw this out, 1,000 churches? Chuck Smith of Calvary Chapel. There's over 1,000 Calvary Chapels around the world. Now, there's quite a few victory outreaches, too. That's through the grace of God through Pastor Sonny. But those are an office of an apostle. Be careful when someone comes around and says, I'm apostle so-and-so. Really? Okay. Be careful with people with titles like that. Amen? Man, you got to be careful. Careful. Jesus. Hallelujah. Look what Paul wrote to the Corinthian church regarding this issue. In 2 Corinthians 8:23, if anyone inquires about Titus, he is my partner and fellow worker concerning you. Or if our brethren are inquired about, they are messengers of the churches, the glory of Christ. Therefore, show to them and before the churches their proof of your love and are boasting on your what? Behalf. See, people that Paul was raising up were qualified through Christ. In other words, their hand, the hand of God was upon them. And they served. They probably served so well, they didn't ask for nothing. And yet, the man of God saw the hand on that person and elevated that person to another place with God. You want Christ's elevation, not man's elevation. You want Christ to elevate you. Can I get amen? Because let me just say this. God will speak to the man that's the overseer to elevate that one. But it's done through the power of the Holy Spirit. Look what also the Apostle Paul wrote to the Philippian church. Yet I considered it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker. Look at this, fellow soldier, but your messenger and the one who ministered to my need. Look how he talks about these individuals. Since he was longing for you all and was all distressed because you had heard that he was sick. Why are these people mentioned? And why does Paul take the time? Because these were servants that loved God. And I truly believe they weren't there for a pat on the back. But God recognized them. Amen? And now, 2,000 years later, we're still reading about them. So saints, elders were leaders in specific congregations, and the words were used interchangeably throughout Paul's letters. They were teachers. They were pastors. They were elders. They were deacons. Deacons were the administrators in these early churches, handling people, administration, finances, and so on. Look what I found in Titus 1:5. For this reason, I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking, and appoint elders in every city as I what? Commanded you. Look at this now, verse 6. If a man is blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of dissipation or insubordination, for a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money. You know people like that? Mm-mm-mm. Look at this. But hospitable, a lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, self-controlled, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound teaching, meaning doctrine, both to exhort and convict those who contradict. Praise God. Praise God. And so an overseer, someone that can be trusted, will operate in what we just read. Listen, it's a for an elder, for a deacon, for a bishop, for a pastor, for an evangelist, it's a tight rope walk. There's no room for error. There really isn't. And we're doubly accountable in everything we say we do, and we must be a testimony. We must be a testimony. Can I get an amen? See, there apparently was a saying regarding church leadership, and Paul cited here that it was true. It is good to desire to be a spiritual leader. Yes, there's nothing wrong with that. Desire means set one's heart on something. Leadership is an honorable responsibility. And let me tell you, I've come across in several churches that I've attended some honorable leaders. I could call my brother. I could call my sister. There's some here in Amazing Grace. They're wonderful. They're wonderful. Why? Because God's hands on them. And they love the Lord. They love the Lord with all their heart, soul, and mind. You could see it. You could see it. You could see it. Just the power of God on their life. Paul stressed it's important. However, as Paul would point out, the standards are high, aren't they? But I'd rather have them high. Why? Because it's something that you can reach. You can say, oh, God, help me get there, God. Now, are we going to arrive? No, we're never going to arrive to perfection. No. But we need to strive toward perfection. Amen? So let's go to verse 2 of 1 Timothy chapter 3. Look at this. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach. Paul enumerated several qualifications for an elder. He must live a life that cannot be spoken against. Wow. Meaning he must have no flaw in his conduct that would be grounds for any kind of accusation. You shared some things with me. I'm not going to speak over the pulpit earlier today of the last church you attended. And that was pretty atrocious. That was pretty atrocious. And there's some things in churches that you'll see in your lifetime that are atrocious. Those are the things that you need to, like, okay, God, how do I view that? How do I judge that? How do I perceive that? So here's the thing, because we live in a fallen world. This is what I share with everyone, especially like we prayed for the families that perished in Texas, right? And some will say, why, God? Why? The answer to things in life is because we live in a fallen world. You have to take them back to the garden. You got to take them back that when Adam and Eve fell, sin entered into the world. And because there's sin in the world, we don't live in a perfect society. The curse is still on the land. The curse is still on this flesh because it's got to still die, doesn't it? But Jesus came that we would, hallelujah, be delivered from the curse. That's why he came, to deliver us from the curse. And so when you see these people that you shared with me earlier, these pastors and what they did and all that, you have to look at it in one sense only. Anyone can fall like that. Nobody's perfect. And all you have to do is just pray. Say, God, I pray for them, God. Help them. It's easy to point a finger. It's harder to pray for them. You pray for them, oh God. Mercy, mercy, mercy. And you know what? Because the moment we belittle, that same thing will fall on you. Be careful. We're not the judge. And so, he was talking that he must be blameless. The term serves as a general opening summary, basically, of character. A leader within the church should have a good reputation among believers. Now, let me just say this. The person that you share that fell out of grace should never go back to be that again. I'm going to say that. Can they be restored back to the fellowship? Yes. Can they be restored back as a believer in Christ? Yes. The Bible says, if your brother and sister fall, go to that such one and restore them. Our job is to restore them. But when it comes to leadership, you have to be blameless here. Look at this. A leader within the church should have a good reputation among believers. Leadership sets the tone. What follows are the building blocks of that reputation. The qualification. He must be faithful to his wife. Has lent himself to different interpretations. Listen. One of the things that I believe that God allowed us to go this long is because we're faithful to one another. Can I get an amen? We know that we're going to grow old together. There's nobody else for us. There's no trading in. Oh no, I'm going to trade you in like a car. No. We made a covenant between each other and God. And we got to be true to it. Can I get an amen? And so when you make a covenant with God as a leader, as a pastor, an elder, you have to really contend for it. It's like a fighter in a ring. He's not in the ring to lose. He's in there to win it, right? And so if you're called in that position, be in it to win it. Don't let your guard down. Don't let the enemy get a hold of you. Because that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants you to lose your testimony. Because he knows if you lose your testimony, you won't hold any more value in the eyes of people. Can I get an amen? You could be restored, but you lost that grace. People goes, you know what? I love you still. I'm praying for you. But you know what would come out of their mouth? I can't trust you no more. Wow. Some say this shows that some of these men should never be married. That's not the case. It's not the case at all. We know that Paul and Timothy, they were unmarried in Scripture. Now, if Paul taught that a leader must be married, he would be unable himself to lead and would be contradicting the instructions. Let's look at what he wrote to the Corinthians. Because if we look at this, before we go to Corinthians, let's go back here to verse 2. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife. So, can a bishop be single? Should a bishop, so someone that's inspiring to be a bishop, be single and obtain that office? I really believe that if you're going into that type of leadership, you need a helpmate. And you know what the wife does for the man? It keeps his integrity uplifted. Because she's always there with him. Can I get amen? Amen. Not to downplay him, not to interrogate him, but to hold him up, to pray for him, to remind him that Christ is one and we're one in Christ. Look at what he wrote here. He wrote this to the Corinthian church. Now concerning virgins, I have no commandment from the Lord. Yet I give judgment as one whom the Lord in his mercy has made trustworthy. I suppose, therefore, that this is good because of the present distress. That is, it is good for a man to remain as he is. Are you bound to a wife? Do not seek to be loosed. Are you loose from a wife? Do not seek a wife. Look at this. But even if you do marry, you have not sinned. And if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. Nevertheless, such will have trouble in the flesh, but I would spare you. But this I say, brethren, the time is short, so that from now on, even those who have wives should be as though they had none. Meaning, you know what that means? That means together as one now, do the work of the ministry, because Christ is coming. There should be an urgency. He does not, Paul is for marriage, even though he wasn't. There's nowhere in Scripture where he says, you shouldn't get married. He says, I'm glad that he's not. You know why? Because he wouldn't be able to go around the whole world with a wife and kids. I mean, he was beaten. He was mobbed. He was thrown out of a ship. He was tossed out of a second-story floor. He was bitten by snakes. He was his own countrymen came against him. Just imagine if they did that to him, they would do it to his wife too. That's all he was saying, that I had to do this alone. He was compelled. God made him that way to go do the work of the ministry. He wasn't knocking marriage. Marriage is honorable if it's done in Christ. And it's for till death do you part. Nowadays is different. I don't have time to get into that. So we just move on. So most likely the leader, if he is married, must be a one-woman man. Can I get amen? Amen. Standing against the immoral standards present in the pagan culture at Ephesus. Ephesus was so pagan. Aphrodite was there. Astora was there. There were women prostitutes everywhere in Ephesus. It was a city of commerce. When we went to visit Ephesus, remember on the side trip, Edo told us, look, this whole coastline was all filled with all kinds of... I asked him, I go, is this where all the prostitutes used to hang? He goes, they still are. You just don't see them right here. So, the Bible rejects marriage as convenience and demands faithfulness. Did you catch that? If you're getting married to say, well, I need my needs met, that's out of convenience. Because that does not demand faithfulness and participation in the one flesh created by husband and wife. Some people have it wrong. Look what it says. Well, Paul wrote this in Ephesians. Look at this. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. To the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, and also Christ is head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in what? Everything. Okay, husbands, here you go. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might what? Sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water and by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle nor any such thing, but that she should be what? Holy, without blemish. As long as you all have known me, not once have you ever heard me complain about my wife. I never said, hey, you know what, Yolanda, blah, 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 blah. When that happens, don't come back no more. I've lost my way. I am to cover her. Just like it says right here, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water of the word. That he might present to her, what? Himself, a glorious church. If Christ is washing us in the word and in the power of the Holy Spirit, we have to do that for one another. No differently. Can I get amen? It would be so blasphemous for me to downcast her and yakety yak her all day long. That would be horrible. Saints, a church leader must live wisely, meaning that his life should be marked by moderation, limits, not extreme or excessive, with an absence of extravagance. We might use the term balance to indicate that this leader possesses the appropriate emphasis on each of the priorities in that person's life. A good reputation refers to basic social graces, ordinary dignified behavior. The Greek word is derived from cosmos, the word, the world or universe, and pictures a person who lives in harmony with the way God created the world to function. Believers are commanded to be hospitable. So a leader should also enjoy having guests in his home and be hospitable. Can I get amen? Amen. You know what? Yolanda and I, we love when you guys come. We open our doors. We want you guys to feel welcomed and loved. That we care for you. Look at this. First Peter wrote this. And above all things, have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a what? A multitude of sins. I'd rather love you to death than point out your sin. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. Look what 3 John wrote. John wrote this in 3 John 5 and 6. Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers who have borne witnesses of your love before the church. If you send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you will what? Do well. I think I shared that with you guys earlier. That if you learn how to bless one another, pray for one another, encourage one another, then you're doing what God has called you to do, and you will do well. God will take care of all of your needs according to His riches and glory. You know how Job got blessed? He prayed for his friends. Read the last chapter of Job. After he lost everything. And then God blessed him tenfold. Amen. If life was cruel to you, if things were taken away from you, if you're short of this and short of that, and man, Lord, I could use a little more of this, a little, you know what? Just start praying for other people's needs. Yeah. Lift them up. Your needs will become so minute. And then, because God is good, then He turns around and blesses you. Without any warning. That's what I love. I love to be blessed without any warning. Can I get amen? I don't want, here, Pastor Fee, I'm sending you a check in 2 days. No, man. I know it's coming. I want to go to the mailbox and, oh my gosh, look at that. Yes. And that's happened to us twice already. When we were down and out. Last time we were down and out. We had, man, we needed groceries. We needed bills paid. Washer machine broke down. Everything was falling apart. We go, oh God. And there was a white envelope in the mailbox from Wells Fargo. Said, I'm sorry, but we miscalculated your escrow account. And so here's a check for $7,500. We bought our washing machine that broke. Our little air conditioner in the back room that broke. Everything that we needed, food, everything. God replenished it. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the only thing I could sum out of the whole thing is that he just chose to do that because he's good. He's good. And he's merciful. Let's move on to verse 3. Not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous. Those are qualities that Paul was looking for to raise up as he established churches, to then lay hands, pray for them, anoint them, and then he would move on. And this is why he wrote this in Timothy. He was exhorting Timothy. Timothy, this is what I need you to understand. That stay away from this. Stay away from that. Not given to wine. Don't be violent. Don't be greedy for money. Be gentle. Don't argue with people. And don't be greedy, covetous. Wow. Well, Scripture identifies this. Paul wrote to the Ephesian church regarding this first topic. Look at this. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. If you want to feel high, get high on the Most High. Can I get an amen? Get high on the Most High. Put that MD 2020 down. Oh, that was somebody back in the day. Look at Proverbs 20. Look at Proverbs 21 here. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is a brawler. You know what? Too much liquor, man, you'll be taking it outside. And whoever is led astray by it is not wise. He must not be violent or quarrelsome. A violent person is an abusive individual. You know people like that? Well, you're looking at one right up here behind this pulpit. Before, in my BC years, before Christ. And then Jesus came and he tamed my heart. He bridled my tongue and he tamed my heart. And he poured so much love from his Holy Spirit that I don't even have memory of a lot of that stuff no more. Amen. Can I get amen? Amen? And so a person, an elder, a bishop, what we're talking about tonight, he must not be violent or quarrelsome. A violent person is an abusive individual. You ever been married to an abusive person or know someone that's abusive? And abuse may take many forms. It could be verbal. You know, sometimes verbal could be more harsher than getting shot in the leg by a bullet. You can heal from that wound, but when someone curses you out with their mouth, you can't take that back. And so there are many forms, verbal, physical, sexual, and even spiritual abuse. But it rises from a deep disrespect for others. We cannot go around like we did back in the world. We come into the church now and God who died for the church. We must now conform to his image. Not to the world's image. He says it best. Look at what he wrote to the Corinthian church here. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But here's the good news. That's why it's called the good news. But you were washed. But you were sanctified. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Hallelujah. How many so blessed that God did this for us? I'll tell you, one of the greatest miracles that he's done for me. Yeah, he delivered me from drugs, alcohol, all that stuff. But I think the greatest miracle for me personally is the moment I received the Holy Spirit, I couldn't curse no more. That was my vocabulary. The F-bomb was every other word. I found an old VCR. Remember we used to have VCRs back in the day? When I worked at Western Lumber, somebody was recording me off a camera, and then they transferred it to a video. A regular video track, the VCR, before the DVDs came out. And I popped it in. It was when I was working at Western Lumber. I couldn't believe what I was hearing from my mouth. Every other word I go, you know what I said to myself? I don't know him. I don't know who that was. Because that's not me no more. Man, God, you saved me. You cleansed me. You washed me. You gave me a new mind. You removed that filth from my tongue. You gave me a heart to love people. This is why, saints of God, fall in love with him. Fall in love with the Savior. Fall in love with Jesus. All the things that he's done for us. A person with a history of verbal battles may find it difficult to lead effectively. Such a person should not be selected to lead. In contrast, he must be gentle, peace-loving. Such a person is free from harshness, sternness, or violence. This affects the ethical use of the church funds and administration of proper programs for raising money. It implies that making money should not be a prime motive for a candidate seeking a church leadership position. And we talked about this last Sunday. I just mentioned a few. How many so thankful we're not a prosperity church here? Don't want to be? Don't plan on being? Get that far from us. Can I get amen? Because that's all going to burn in the fire. And so let's move on to verse 4. One who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. Saints, the qualifications for both elders and deacons hinge on the man's ability to manage his own household. It is not absolutely required that an elder be married or have children. We don't see that particularly in Scripture. If he does, however, he must manage his family well. The word manage means compassionate. It's called compassionate governing, leading, and directing, not stern, not cruel, not tyrannical, and not authoritarian dominance. Can't come home and the kids are running underneath the bed when you come home. Quick little testimony. We attended Mission Valley Christian Fellowship. Pastor Leo's right-hand man Jim Hallahan. His testimony was this. His wife got saved first. Nancy Hallahan got saved first. And she came home with the good news. And he would come in home like a stupor drunk. Drunk stupor. Kids would hide. They would hide in the closet. He was always looking for her to beat her up. And he used to beat them all up because he was drunk. And she didn't divorce him. She kept praying for him, kept praying for him, kept praying for him. It went on for almost 2 years of abuse. Some of the elders said, man, you got to let him go. And she was holding on and said, God's going to do something. One day he came home to beat them all up and nobody was home. He sat there drinking. And he said it was like Jesus came in the living room himself. Showed him his sin. It was probably an angel. Showed him his sin. He fell on his face and broke right there and cried out for mercy. And God saved them right there. And when they came home, he was whimpering like a baby, asking for forgiveness, asking them all. Several years went by. He got ordained and became Pastor Leo's assistant. And man, I never knew that man. I never knew Jim Hallahan. In his BC years, he never knew me. And it's a good thing we didn't know each other like that. But when I met him, when we came to Mission Valley, this guy was a loving guy, kind guy, someone that you could trust. Because it's what God did in him. Yeah. Can I get an amen? Amen? The power of the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
One of the things that encouraged me was when I heard their testimony that there's hope for anyone that's going through something horrendous like that. Look at this. And look what Paul wrote to the Thessalonian church. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. In other words, what he's saying here, those that God raises up, admonish them in the Lord. Say, man, I'm so thankful that God saved your life and now you are a beautiful saint. And encourage them to keep going. Never throw in the towel. And never be shy for prayer. Never be prideful that, oh man, I got this. No. That's when we need God and we need God's people. When we can't go any further. Because the enemy will try to stumble you. We need God every day. And we need each other. Look at your neighbor and say, I need you. Look at this in chapter 5 in 1 Timothy. Let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. One of the things that I kind of rejected when we first started our church, they kept saying, man, we need to have a pastor appreciation day. I go, no. No. I don't know. You know what? All I appreciate is your prayers for me. That you pray for us. That God will keep us strong. Amen? We're not looking for a gift. We're not looking for any of that. We're looking at that you would pray that God will strengthen us, that we would continue to grow in the grace. Because let me just say this. As you grow, I grow. Can I get an amen? As you grow, I grow. And so we need to pray for spiritual growth for one another. And so this type of family leadership reflects the parallel between church and home seen in Ephesians 5:28. So husbands, what? Ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Can I get amen? Look at what he wrote to the Ephesian church. And you, masters, do the same things to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. You know, to put this scripture in context, when it says master, those are your bosses. People, your employer. You know, some bosses, man, they love to lean on you. If you're a saved boss, you show them a lot of grace and mercy and help them if they struggle. Can I get amen? The whipping can get you nowhere. Verse 5 in 1 Timothy chapter 3. If a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? And so it makes sense that Paul would use this requirement. For no one can run a household effectively without love and firmness and mercy and guidelines from the Word of God. Look at this. He wrote this in Peter. 1 Peter 5, 1 through 4. The elders who are among you, I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. Look at this. Nor as being lords over the entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. That's what I want. I don't want Pastor's Appreciation Day. I want a crown of glory from Jesus. Hallelujah. That I was privileged to shepherd you all as we grow together in faith. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. If there's anything I want, is that. Keep everything else. All that's going to fade away. This will go into glory. Hallelujah. The crown of glory that does not fade away. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Lord. The best way to see a person's ability to handle a large responsibility is to see how or she performs a small one. That's why the little simple things that God gives you, he's just seen how you do those things, how you handle them, so he can entrust you with larger things. The ability to handle his household forms a training ground for a man's ability to handle the whole family of God in the church. The same love, compassion, firmness, and mercy are needed for both duties. Can I get amen? Amen. Now let's go to verse 6 of 1 Timothy chapter 3. Look at this. Here's where he says, not a novice, lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Meaning, the Bible says, don't lay hands on someone suddenly. This is why you need... Some people are in a hurry to get ahead of God. And so if they don't get their way, or they can't show God their faithfulness to a certain body of Christ, that they're faithful, they're serving, you know, people see them serving, you know, they give unto the Lord, all that, all those things that come with faithfulness, they want to take cuts. Oh, I'll just print out my own ordination. and ordained myself. And not even called by God. Not even, listen, the favor that you're going to have on your life is favor from God and the elders there in that body that have seen you serve. That will witness and say, man, they're faithful. Now, allow God to elevate them now. Some of them want just, I'm going to take cuts. Some people will print out, Bishop so-and-so. Who ordained you? And that software program is not even around no more. Look at this. Not a novice, lest being puffed up, pride, he shall fall in the same condemnation. Look at this. Look what Paul wrote to the Corinthian church once again. He goes, lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelation. I mean, God revealed him revelation after revelation after revelation. That could have puffed them up. Remember, he was not the original 12. But look at this. A thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. In other words, God allowed that thing to humble him. Can I get an amen? Amen. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. But look what he said. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather, look at this. Then Paul said, Paul had a paradigm change. He goes, okay, God, I get it now. So then he turned around and he flipped it in his own heart. He said, therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches, in needs and persecutions and distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I'm strong. Ooh, then I am strong. Can I get an amen? Woo, let me tell you, man. If you want to go places with God, you got to allow him to bring you to a place like this.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's right. Preach it, Pastor. That's right.
Somebody wants to pass. You know when you play Monopoly? Let me pass jail. No, sometimes we got to end up, man, saying, God, show me what I must do. Allow me to go through things that you want me to go through.
That's right.
That I will still glorify you and magnify you in the midst of that turmoil. Because when you praise Him, when you praise Him, through that trial,
hallelujah,
when you come out on the other end, then you're like fine gold in His hand. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
He's going to purify you that way. You can keep your certificate. My former pastor used to call certificates. You can keep those. You can put 50 of them on the wall until you run out of ink on your printer. I'd rather go this route. Can I get amen?
Amen.
I want God to teach me something. I want to learn something when I'm going through persecutions and distresses. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Because when I am now helpless, he comes in now to help me.
Yes.
Come on, somebody got to say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, God. Look what he wrote to in 1 Peter 5:5. Look at that. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to the elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. You see, the new believer might be proud of being chosen so soon. And the devil will use that pride to make him fall. He'll get all puffed up in pride. Well, look at me now. So the reference to the devil teaches that in the same way Satan fell because of pride, there waits the danger of pride to new believers who are given responsibility before they are ready. They have to go through some things. They have to go through the fire. They have to have testimonies that God saw me through this. Now, God could start allowing you to be a testimony. Hallelujah, to help somebody. The testimony is not for you to gloat. The testimony is to free someone else.
Yes, yes.
To deliver someone else. Can I get amen? Because if God can do that for you, He can do that for them. Thank you, God. New believers who are too quickly promoted can be easy targets for the devil's powerful temptation, which is called pride. Can I get amen? Look at James 4:6. But He gives us more grace. This is why it says good. Look at this. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. See, pride can seduce emotions, and it can also cloud our reason. It can make those who are immature susceptible to the influence of unscrupulous people. Look at Proverbs 11:2. When pride comes, disgrace follows. But with humility comes wisdom. I'd rather have God's wisdom. Can I get amen? Come on, I want God's wisdom. And you know how you're going to get that wisdom? Through all the trials you've been through. All the things that He allows you to go through. Because they're all teachable moments. Every one of them. I'd rather be taught by God and show me the error of my way so that I can learn not to do those things again. Look at Proverbs 16:18. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before what? A fall. Wow. And we're going to get to our last verse here. Verse 7. Moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Wow. And so, saints, requiring the leaders to have good reputation with people outside of the church, that is, non-believers in the community, gave the church at large a good reputation in the community. Look at this in Acts 6:3. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. See, God gives us somewhat of a pattern here to appoint elders and deacons and people and leaders. Seek them out. Make sure they're filled with the Holy Spirit. They have a good reputation. Can I get amen? And they carry the Holy Spirit with them with wisdom, whom we may appoint over the business. They knew. God knew how to teach them. Thank you, God. Church leaders, being the most visible people in the church to the secular world, would do well to maintain the highest of standards and the best reputation. Look what 1 Peter 3:15 wrote here. But sanctify the Lord in your hearts, the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ, that they may be ashamed. For it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than for doing what?
Evil.
Evil. And so when Christian leaders have a bad reputation, it keeps non-believers from coming to Christ. So this is what Paul's trying to teach us through Timothy tonight, is to walk with wisdom, walk with God's grace, walk in a way that pleases God, that others would have that sense of trust and hope in your walk with Christ, that they could come to you in confidence, that what they share with you, you're not going to blabber it out, that you will keep those things hidden in your heart, to learn how to pray for one another, to help one another, to watch them grow. How many want to see people grow? I want to see people grow in their faith. I want to, man, when you're bringing people to get saved and get baptized, man, now you understand what it's all about. That's right. It's no longer you, but Christ who lives in you, the hope of glory. And so, Jesus is coming soon. How many believe he's coming soon? Oh, he's coming soon, saints. He's coming soon. And we need to be ready for his return. How many believe he's going to come just like the Bible says he's going to come? A thief in the night to those who are not looking for him. But for us, who's looking for him, he's not going to come as a thief. Because we know he's coming. He's going to be a thief in the night to those who are not looking for him. I shared those scriptures on Sunday. Go back to that message. You'll understand what I just said. Thank you, God. But look what Paul wrote to the Thessalonian church. But I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. Say this with me, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will what? Rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. Notice we're going to meet them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore comfort one another. Yeah. Scare one another like the boogeyman. No. Comfort one another with these words. Because it's going to be so fast. So fast. It's going to be faster than the twinkling of an eye. That's faster than the speed of light. Speed of light travels 186,000 miles per second. In other words, fast is like running from the bed, turning off the light, and getting in your bed before it becomes dark. Are you that fast? No, no one is. Look at this. In 1 Corinthians, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. In other words, we're not all going to see physical death. But we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, meaning the shofar blowing. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised incorruptible in their new bodies. And we what? And we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. My friends, if you're watching this right now, don't let this happen to you, because this is what's going to take place maybe this year. Who knows? If he doesn't come for us on this feast, then he's given us another year to sow in the field. Can I get amen? But I'm always looking for him to come on the Feast of Trumpets. Look at this.
Jesus Christ is coming back for his church. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 42, watch therefore, for you do not know the hour your Lord is coming. I want you to know, church, that Jesus Christ could come this month, or he might come next week, or he could even come...
You get ready. First sermon ever spoken by the Apostle Peter. Then Peter said to them, repent, let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins. That means forgiveness. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is to you and to your children and to all afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. My friends, if that's you right now, wanting Christ to come in, and you do not want to be left behind, cry out to God. Allow me to lead you into a prayer of salvation and watch God do the miraculous in your life by faith. Bow your heart and your head and pray this prayer by faith. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on. Give God a shout of praise. Hallelujah.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com. Or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.